So, not a massive fan of the phrase, but Nancy started it and it seems to be sticking. I know. So, are we ready for James to get up in our business this afternoon? How are we feeling about that? You ready? Okay. So, we're looking at James 2, verses 14 to 26. And I've called this faith and works, the chicken and egg dilemma of Christianity. Either that will make sense to you as we go through this, or it won't. If it doesn't, never mind. It's just a title. It doesn't matter. So I'm going to start with some audience participation, because I know how much you love that. But it's okay. I've kept it nice and simple, and we've done this before. So it's the phone thing, yes, absolutely. If you would like to scan the QR code, that will take you to a web app called Mentimeter. And I want you to answer this very simple question. Okay? It's also on the next slide if you can read it. So the question is this: does your salvation depend on your actions and behaviors, aka your works? Yes or no? Really simple. It's a simple, don't make that face, Nancy. It's a very simple question. It's not even a trick question. I know what you're thinking. Looking at me, I know what you're thinking. I'm not trying to trick you. It's a very simple question. No. Excellent. Well done. Oh. Okay. Well, no. There's some leeway. It's all right. There's no judgment here. There's no names up there. It's all good. So, all good, or majority of us good. Ephesians 2 Christians in the room. All understanding that it's by grace that you have been saved through faith and not by works. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So we know where we stand. We know where our salvation is, right? Right? Okay. Let's see what our buddy James has to say about it. James 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them?
That shouldn't have happened.
Okay. I thought it was phone a friend. Someone phoning with the answer. No, hang on. I see where James is going with this. This is a rhetorical question, right? So we know that salvation is by grace through faith, and so works don't matter. So the answer to James's question is yes, right?
No.
Let's skip ahead a little and see. I'm sure what we'll see is James agreeing with Paul, and all of my ideas about a simple faith will be true and justified. Verse 20, you foolish person. Yeah. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Well, that's just rude, James. Here I was, living my comfortable Christian life, not bothering anyone. I said the special prayer, put my faith in God, and was quite happy getting on with my life. And now you're throwing round words like foolish and useless. Great. So what are we supposed to do with this? Do we take sides? I follow Paul and works has nothing to do with it. I follow James and faith without works is useless. Or could there possibly, just maybe, be another way of looking at this? I've hammed that up just a little bit. But it's a reflection of a genuine struggle that I, and I think a lot of people, have with these verses. It seems so contradictory to what Paul is saying that it's really tempting to just brush it under the carpet and gloss over it. But here we are, studying James, so we don't have that luxury. We have to face it head on and really try to figure out what James is saying here. Because I don't think for one second that it's contradictory to what Paul is teaching in any way. Any of you? No? Okay, so let's figure it out. The answer came to me while standing on my head. Not physically, theologically. I think what James is getting at here is not whether faith on its own is enough to save you. It's how real is your faith. This whole letter is James holding up a mirror to believers and saying, do you see what you say? Does who you are match who you say you are? It's not very comfortable. Who here likes looking at themselves in a mirror? Anyone? No one who's going to admit it. Okay. No. As you know, I recently went to India with Phil. Now, I was prepared for the jet lag. I was prepared, very much so, for the food. I was even prepared for the traffic. But one of the things I had not fully prepared for was how many pictures and videos there would be of me inside profile. And as I knew that it was physically impossible for me to be pregnant, I decided that I had to do something about it, and I've joined a gym. Thank you. Thank you. I'll come back to that. But the point being, when we see ourselves how we really are, it doesn't always match with the picture we have in our heads. This is true physically, but also emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. And of course, it's a spiritual reflection that James is dealing with here. James says, so you have faith. You say you believe. Prove it. And how do we prove what we believe? In our behaviors, by our actions and our reactions. What are some examples for you? I believe in gravity. You can tell this because when I'm up a ladder, I hold on really tight and I take care where I put my feet. That's my action. I also get a funny feeling in my legs and a slight tightness in my chest. That's a reaction. I believe that hot things will hurt me if I touch them. You can tell this because I avoid touching them. That's action. I also pull my hand away really quickly if it senses heat. That's a reaction. This sort of belief is ingrained in us. It's instinctive. It's survival and self-preservation. In most of these scenarios, I cannot help but act or react. But there's also a different kind of belief. As I mentioned earlier, I joined the gym, like many others in January. Like half of Basingstoke, it would seem, I have joined Pure Gym. I joined because I am overweight and unfit, and I believe that going to the gym will help me lose weight and get fitter. But will believing that make me lose weight and get fitter? No. Not unless I go. If I don't act on my belief and do the work, that belief is useless to me. James, maybe I'm starting to see what you mean. My decision to not to not go to the gym does not make the belief any less true, but that belief can't help me unless I go. Moreover, if I don't go, you might be forgiven for questioning just how much I really believe what I claim to believe. James gave some examples too. Let's have a look at them. James 2, verse 15 to 17. Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. This is where we can run the risk of getting into a bit of trouble. Or I should say, I could run the risk of getting into some trouble. So I'm going to be quite deliberate in how I say this next bit. Is James saying that your salvation is at risk if you don't feed and clothe the poor and needy? No. Because that would be salvation by works. Is James saying that it is good to feed and clothe the poor and needy? Yes, absolutely. But that's missing the point. Is James saying that something is wrong if we say to someone, keep warm and well fed, but don't keep them warm and feed them? Yes, that's the point. It's like that thing people do on social media when something bad happens. They send thoughts and prayers and followed by a high five emoji mistakenly used as praying hands. Seen that? Seen that everywhere. Now, don't get me wrong. The absolutely best thing that we can do in a situation is to hold people in our thoughts and pray for them. But all too often, it's just a cop-out. It's a substitute for action. It's an expression of sympathy that makes us feel and look good, but does absolutely nothing to help the people who are in need. Next example, verses 21 to 24. Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. This is probably the ultimate example in the Bible of works being the evidence of someone's faith. Abraham had every reason not to do what God had asked him to do. Isaac was his son, his only son, a son he had been promised, a son he had waited 100 years for. But on top of that, human sacrifice was abhorrent. It was a sin in itself. But Abraham's belief was so strong, so real, that he went to do it anyway. Just in case anyone in the room doesn't know the story, it's worth saying Abraham didn't sacrifice Isaac. God provided a ram as a substitute. But by his actions, Abraham proved the strength of his belief, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. How cool is that? Thank you. Final example, verses 25 to 26. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Here's one that hits a little closer to home for me. As many of you will know, a little over 3 years ago, Nikki and I were presented with an opportunity to put faith into action. For those of you who don't know the story, here's a quick recap. Our eldest son, Jack, had just started college, and he'd met a few friends, as you do. One of these new friends was a young lad called George. One evening, he phoned Jack in tears. Without going into too much detail, essentially he was unable to stay with the people he was living with, and he didn't know what to do. He was sat on a bench in Popley. Jack, bless him, was already halfway out the door. But we both said, without even thinking, without even hesitating, we both said, bring him back to ours, he can stay tonight, and we'll figure out the rest in the morning. 3 years later, George is still living with us. He's become part of our family. I don't tell you that story to big ourselves up or even to hold us up as an example. Please don't see us as an example. There's lots of stuff that I and we get wrong. But I think it is an example of an occasion when we got it right. We responded to that situation almost instinctively out of the faith that we have. I'd love to say that I thought about it carefully, gave it some real prayerful consideration, looked long at my What Would Jesus Do bracelet, and decided that the most Christian thing that we could do was to take in this poor, needy child of God. But that would be complete rubbish. We reacted, plain and simple. Don't get me wrong, I did plenty of soul searching in the months that followed. But at the time, I genuinely believe it was our faith, our belief in the love of God that produced a reaction in us to do a work that has been set aside for us to do. Do I think that people without faith would have done the same thing? Absolutely yes. Some would, 100%. There's some lovely non-Christians out there. But I know what caused that reaction in me. And the work we began that day was and continues to be a practical outworking of the faith we have in Jesus. All of these examples are pretty big things. But that doesn't mean that only the big things count. Just that it's the big things that are memorable. So look out for opportunities to feed and clothe people, make sacrifices, take in spies, or give troubled teenagers a home, because these things will get you into heaven. No, wait, that's salvation by works again. The point is not how much we do, or whether or not we do this particular thing or that particular thing. The point is to take a real, honest look at what we are doing, big or small, or in between. And to ask, what does that say about how real my faith is? In the spirit of being open and vulnerable with you, because as you will see at the beginning of the next chapter, those of us who presume to stand up here and teach are held to a higher standard. So here's my confession from my reflections on this. I say I believe in the power of prayer. Yet despite having, and despite that, too often my first reaction is not to pray. I say I believe in the power of Scripture to guide us, and yet despite having done it last year, I'm yet to join in with the Bible in a year. I will, promise. I say I believe that bullying and discrimination are wrong. And yet I see certain situations and times when I allow myself to treat people differently, sometimes even more harshly because of the way I see them. I'm not talking about racism or homophobia or sexism, but if they're wrong, so is discriminating against someone because they're annoying. I could go on, but I won't, because it's not all about me. This isn't an exercise in beating ourselves over the head with a stick. It's not even about condemning myself. Oh, I really should do better here. I really should try harder there. Although I should. But that's not really the point. The point is, what do those actions say about how healthy my faith really is? And whether by an act of will or by quiet reflection and review of what I really believe, I start to demonstrate my faith through my works. How about we just take a moment to reflect on your life right now? Is God highlighting any areas where maybe the actions don't reflect the belief? Any situations where what you're saying isn't what you're doing? I'm just going to shut up for a second and let you do that. To finish off, I wanted to come back to our Mentimeter poll. Let's ask the same question, but I'll throw in another option for you this time. Does your salvation depend on your actions and behaviors, aka your works? Yes, no, or sort of. I should point out this also isn't a trick question. Wow, okay. Couple more seconds for anybody who hasn't responded yet to respond, and we'll. That's less than I thought. I'll be honest with you. In looking at this, I've gone from no to sort of. Because you know why? Because while it doesn't depend on your actions do demonstrate how real your faith is. So there is a way of looking at this which would say yes, actually. Because if your faith is real, you will act and you will react to things. You will do works. You won't be able to stop yourself if it's real enough. Yeah? I'll leave you with this. I've flipped it round, but I'm sure James wouldn't mind. From James 2, verses 19 and 18. You believe that there is one God. Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Show me your faith without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. Thank you.